So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom. I'll be coming at you for the next 30 minutes. This is going to be the follow-up to last week's show. It's been 2 weeks since my brother took his own life. It's been rather difficult at times, but it is slowly getting better. I hope I sound better this week than I did last week. I certainly feel a little bit better, but it's still kind of rough. Now, last week was going over what have kind of happened. And in the event that you missed the show last week, my brother was on medication for depression, and one of the side effects of that medication is suicide. And he unfortunately shot himself in the head with a 9mm, a very, very violent way to go. Folks, let me just tell you this right now. If I were ever going to commit suicide, I would do it by hanging. I would not do it by shooting myself. So if anybody ever finds me and I have committed suicide by shooting myself, it's bogus. Just remember that, okay? But like I said, it's been getting better, but sometimes my mind still fogs up. And I got up this morning, got in the shower, and I never, when I get up in the morning, it's always dark. And I never turn the lights on. I know exactly where everything is. I don't need to see what I'm doing. And I just would rather stay in the dark. I turn the lights on just as I'm getting ready to leave and then turn them off behind me. So I got out of the shower and I noticed it was starting to get kind of light out. So I opened the Venetian blind a little bit and peeked through, and I could see the sky was getting light. So I wanted to know what time it was. So what did I do? Of course, I stepped on the scale to see just what time it was. And it was 172 and a half pounds is what it was. So just little dumb things like that I do every now and then. But all in all, I think it's getting better. Again, I had so much outpouring and support from my friends and my family and social media. And I gotta say, folks, probably the biggest number of people that have reached out to me are from the acting community. And it has been just absolutely wonderful. See, if you're not an actor, actors are basically a family, just like police officers are one giant family. So are actors. Now, when I used to play a cop on TV, we would shoot on the weekends, so we wouldn't see each other all week. First thing we do, we'd see each other on the weekends, and everybody would come and hug each other. You know, guys, girls, girls. I mean, it was not a sexual thing. It's just, we actors are huggy people. And I had to kind of be careful in dealing with other people I haven't seen in a while. I have a tendency to shake their hand or reach out and give them a big hug. But that's just the amount of outpouring, like I said, from the acting community was absolutely incredible. A lot of people I'd never even heard of before that are friends on Facebook just reached out to me with heartfelt thanks. And oh, also, I want to welcome our newest listener, my cousin Michelle. Michelle, it's good to have you on here. I sent her a trial episode at random, and she liked it, so I sent her the archive from last week, because the shows don't archive for a couple of months, I think. Why it takes so long from the archive, I don't know. I'll have to ask my program director and see if perhaps he has a satisfactory explanation for me. But today's show is going to be a little bit lighter than it was last week. Last week, again, as I started to say, and I got sidetracked, was about what had happened, and it was a very, very difficult show to do. Obviously not as difficult as when I called into the local talk show the morning that I learned where it happened and literally fell to pieces with approximately 50,000 people tuned in. That was really great, Tommy. But anyway, I managed to keep it together on the show. I feel a lot better this week. Again, thank you, everybody. I'm going to be talking this week. Yes, I'm finally getting to it. George, just let me do my, just mind the monitor, just and the mixing board. Just let me do my job. This is my therapy, not yours. Today, I'm going to be dealing with the happier times that I remember. As my brother and I were not really close. We had gotten closer in recent years, but we'd always had our ups and downs. Now, when I was a little kid, I always looked up to my big brother. Let me just add here, both my sisters and my brother were born a year apart, 12, 13, and 14 years older than me. So when I talk about my little sister, she's actually 12 years older than me. So when I was 2-3 years old, of course, my sisters and my brother were all in high school, and I just looked up to my big brother so much, and he joined the Air Force in the era of Vietnam, did not actually go over there. He's what they call a Vietnam era vet, not a Vietnam vet. And he was just, like I said, my big brother, idolized him. And in 1988, I moved out to San Diego to live with him for a while. And he had changed drastically. He was on drugs. He was not the person whom I revered as a little child. And it really put me off to him for quite some time. It took many years to get back to being friends with him again. And then he moved here to North Carolina back in the early 90s. I worked with my dad and myself for a while in our contracting company, then went out on his own doing custom cabinet work and stuff, and was doing fairly well for himself. And then we had an issue in 2004 where he had us go up to the Hamptons. I've told you this job. I made enough money on that one job to retire and not do anything for six or seven years, which is how I became an actor and a writer and a politician. That's how I had time for it, because I didn't have to work. Then all of a sudden the money was gone and I had to start working again. But he got very upset with my dad and myself. I didn't know what was going on. My dad asked for help, so I went up there and helped out. Well, what I made was mine, right? Well, apparently he thought he had a cut coming because he didn't know how to handle it, and he was being Mr. Big and trying to be the contractor, which wasn't working because he didn't know how to do that. So anyway, there was a falling out over that, and about 10 years ago, I called him to wish him a happy birthday, and he appreciated that. So we got back to being not only on speaking terms, but calling and staying in touch. So I'm glad that he did not leave with there being bad blood between us. Because folks, there is nothing worse than losing someone, wishing you could have said, I'm sorry, or wishing you could have said, I love you, or you mean the world to me. So fortunately, that did not happen. I'm very, very grateful for that. So I want to just, like I said, go over some of the lighter times, things that I remember about my brother that were good. Not the bad things, not where we're having an argument or where he was not himself, but things where I can look back and at the time did not really enjoy the time or where I was at the time, but now I can look back and I can smile upon those things. I don't know, George. I don't know. Producer George is just asking if he'd ever met my brother. I don't know, little guy. I think he only stopped by the house here once after he and his wife moved out west, so I don't know if you ever met him or not. I don't remember you being around when he was here, so either you were sleeping on the windowsill or outside wandering the neighborhood and pooping in somebody's flower garden or something, because I don't remember you being around. So, I'm sorry. I wish you could have met him, but I don't think that you did. So let me start here, I guess, when I moved out to San Diego in 1988 to live with him for a while, and that lasted 8 months before I had enough and moved back here to the great state of North Carolina. Still trying to get my cousin Michelle to move down here and get away from that cesspool called Connecticut where she lives, where you have absolutely no freedoms, cousin. Come down here where it's free. You can do what you want for the most part and not have any legal repercussions. But anyway, I moved out to San Diego in 1988. I was 19 years old, which kind of gives you a range of my age. And it was a very difficult transition. I was a long way from home. It was the first time that I had ever been that far away from home. 2,000 miles is as the song says, a long way to Rome just to make this dock my home. Of course, there I was calling it this dump because I just did not like Southern California. You don't have the freedoms that you do here, number one, and just did not like being that far away. So it was bad enough for me to try and make the transition had I been in a good situation. But then having to contend with my brother and what he was doing at the time just kind of made it worse. The only easy part about it, I guess, was that when he got out of the service, because he was a combat photographer, and he got a job as a civilian working out on San Clemente Island off the coast of San Diego. So he was gone all week. Then he'd come back on the weekends. Sometimes he'd stay out over the weekend, and he'd be out of my hair for 2 weeks. But there used to be a show on TV called Firepower, and they would show like Tomahawk missile tests and things like that. And the stuff that was shot in the 80s was stuff that my brother had shot. You may very well have seen video that my brother shot for the military, and you just absolutely had no idea who it was that was filming this stuff. It was actually filmed by civilians. And my brother had an advantage over some of the other photographers because he was also scuba certified. So when they were doing underwater tests for missiles and things like that, he was the only one that was qualified to go down there. But anyway, we did have some good times when he was around on the weekends, when he was kind of mellowed out. And I remember one time in particular, we lived in a little town called Lemon Grove, which out there everybody calls Lemon Groove. And when you went, maybe a mile and a half away down the bottom of the hill, you're in this town called Spring Valley. And there was a Kmart in Spring Valley. I forget the name of the road it was on. And my brother had a really annoying habit at the time of saying, "We're going to Kmart. We're going to Kmart." And it just absolutely aggravated the crap out of me. And at the time, the local rock station, KGB, was for some reason running the hell out of the Police song. I don't know what the name of it is, but all he does is repeat, "I can't, I can't, I can't stand losing. I can't, I can't, I can't stand losing." So I would sing along with it on the radio, "I can't stop repeating," over and over and over again. And that would just drive my brother crazy. So one day, we're driving around in the car, and he goes, "We're going to Kmart." So I started saying, "I can't, I can't, I can't stop repeating." And it sounded something like this. "We're going to Kmart. I can't, I can't, we're going I can't to stop Kmart. Repeating. I can't, I can't, I can't we're stop going repeating. To Kmart. I can't. I can't, I can't stop repeating, Kmart. I can't, I can't, we're going I can't to stop Kmart. Repeating, I can't, I can't, we're I can't stop repeating, Kmart. I can't." Good times, folks, it really was. It didn't seem like it at the time, but looking back on it now, it could have been worse, I suppose. And I do look back fondly on those times where we did actually have fun together and act like brothers. Another time we were in front of, ironically, Kmart again, and we were in traffic, and somebody tooted their horn. So I said, of course, that old thing. "Horn blows, is the driver?" And he said rather indignantly, "No." I said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "Because it was me." So it's things like that that I look back on now, and it's nice to think about them and laugh. Also, when I was out there, he had a 280Z. And for some reason, he painted the thing with white spray paint. And it would get dirty. And of course, you can't wash Krylon. So he would buy the stuff by the case. And the thing would get dingy. And he'd just go out there and he'd spray more paint on it. So one day, I went out, and the car's sitting in the driveway, and it was a little dirty. So, of course, you know, smart aleck here, I took my finger, wrote "wash me" on it. So he came out and he saw it and he said something. I don't remember what it was. So he grumbled and he went and he got the hose and he tried washing it. Well, everything else came clean and it left a dirty spot where I'd written. It said "wash me in dirt." It was ground into the paint because it was so soft. So he just got out spray paint and painted over it. Again, things like that that I can look back on now and smile about. I got to take a break here, folks. I'll be back in a couple of minutes, as usual, so don't go anywhere.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Hey folks, I am back, and I do apologize for that overrun. We did have an issue during the commercial break. George got stuck in the litter box. It's a new one, and it's got this like dome over it with this door, and apparently he couldn't figure his way back out, and I had to get him out of that situation. And, well, no, George, it happens to all of us. It happened to me. Well, no, George, I didn't get stuck in a litter box, but folks, I think I've told you this story. When I was on the set of April Fool's Day, they had these portable bathrooms, and they were portable bathrooms. They were not porta-johns. I mean, these things were gorgeous. I mean, they were actual trailers. and they were like all aluminum and stuff. And you went in, and it had an actual toilet. It had a sink with hot and cold running water, a mirror with makeup lights. I mean, these things were like basically mini star trailers without a place to crash. These things were gorgeous. Unfortunately, they also had a self-locking device on the doorknob that I couldn't figure out. And time was crunching, and they're paging me over the PA. And finally, I managed to get myself out, and I had to explain very sheepishly to the casting director why I was late, because I had gotten myself locked in the bathroom. But anyway, we are back and getting back to talk some more about the really fun times that I remember about being with my brother. I think I have one more from San Diego. And one weekend, I was riding with him again. For some reason, we were going down to Spring Valley. We seemed to go there an awful lot for some reason. I don't know if it was always to Kmart, but that's, I guess I had to go really to get to anywhere that we wanted to go. And to get from Skyline Drive down to the boulevard that I can't remember its name, where the Kmart was this steep road. I don't remember the name. And we're coming down the road, and there's this kid riding a skateboard right down the middle of the road. So my brother, being my brother, you know, blew the horn at him, got into a verbal altercation with the kid, and they exchanged some insults, and he swerved the car towards him like he was going to run him over and scared the crap out of him, and that was the end of that situation. Well, the following weekend, he's riding with me in my car. We get to the exact same location, and there's the same kid. Well, the kid didn't recognize the car, but he recognized my brother, and he hollered something at him. And my brother hollered something back, and he looks over at me and says, "I'm just going to hang my tattoos out the window and look menacing." So, I mean, those were the times, folks. I mean, my brother had a few tattoos. I mean, nothing like people have nowadays. He had, I think the very first one he got was a Harley Davidson wing tattoo. Like, it was really popular back in the 1970s, which is when he got it. Boy's never owned a motorcycle. The fastest thing he's ever ridden on two wheels was either a 10-speed or a mini bike. Never had a motorcycle, much less a Harley Davidson. So why he got that tattoo, I don't know. He got it in the Air Force back in like 1972, 73, 74, something like that. I don't know. But it's just stupid things like that that you look back on with fondness, and it makes you smile. Well, at least it makes me smile. But these are the things that I'm talking about, folks. If you've lost someone, think back on those times. Don't dwell on the times when things weren't going so well. Think back on the times when you may have had some laughs, done some fun things together. You know, maybe went and saw a funny movie or something. Now, my brother and I, okay, here's another San Diego one. My brother and I did go to see Good Morning Vietnam when I was out there. And yeah, folks, we laughed our asses off. That was one funny movie. And I'll tell you, again, there, Robin Williams, tremendously talented actor, again, took his own life. And I discussed this on the show from a couple of years ago that dealt specifically with suicide. That man has so much going for him and just tied a plastic bag around his head. And the same thing with my brother. He had a very successful business, had just recently, within the past year, gotten licensed through the state of Arizona to be a home inspector. Had developed a very good reputation. He was charging top dollar for it, and people were willing to pay it. So for this to happen was just so out of the blue. But it's one of those things that does happen. You have to deal with it, and you have to move on. And my way of dealing with it and moving on is partially through this show and sharing what I am going through with all of you who tune into this show. There's what, 16 of you now? No, just kidding. But for those of you who do tune into the show, just think about this, folks. If there's somebody that you know who's exhibiting these signs, please get them the help that they need and find out what medication they're taking. Because if it's one of these with the side effects of suicide, which is a serious side effect, folks, then you might want to get them to talk to their doctor about putting them on something else. Now, I've still got a few minutes left, folks. I do want to apologize. My voice sounds a little coarse or rough here. It is spring here in Dixie. The pollen is heavy, and even though I am taking some allergy stuff to kind of help with my nose here, I did not take one this morning because it was raining, which apparently was a mistake. So I do apologize if my voice sounds a little throaty. I am not coming down with anything this time. I am not sick. I do not have the flu. I do not have pneumonia. I just apparently have some allergies to the oak pollen, which is very prevalent here in this area this time of year. I do have time for at least one, maybe two more little anecdotal stories regarding my brother before I have to start signing off. But when he first came to work for my dad and myself, of course, we were getting back together and bonding and everything. And he was having trouble with a spike. We were putting a deck down for a guy. What was it? A two-story deck. It was a beautiful deck. And he was having trouble with this nail. He was trying to put it through a knot. He's just whacking the heck out of it with his hammer. So, copying the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I said, "Give it a whack, give it a whack, give it a whack now. Give it a whack, give it a whack, give it a whack now." And again, it's just one of those stupid things that you can look back on and smile about. And I think the last one I'm going to have time for is he was using his screw gun, the same job. We were inside, and it locked. And when you use a screw gun, these ones that DeWalt makes, it makes kind of a farting sound when it hits too much torque, so it doesn't snap the screw off. And he knew I have really, really good hearing. So I made a comment, something about, is your lunch backing up or something like that? Well, unbeknownst to me, he had actually farted around the same time. He's like, "Son, you got radar ears." So on that note, folks, I think I'm going to end this topic for now. But I'll be back next week talking about some normal things. And actually, it's not going to be quite so normal because, again, this is a variety show, and you never know what you're going to listen to when you tune in. It's not always political. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's out there. And next week, folks, it's going to be one of those out there episodes. Have you ever thought about something and you remember it specifically one way, but it is clearly a different way? Like, say, maybe the spelling of Chick-fil-A, like we have down here in the South. I clearly remember it is C-H-I-C-F-I-L-A. Apparently, somewhere over time, it has changed to C-H-I-C-K-F-I-L-A. It's called the Mandela Effect. And folks, I'm going to talk to you in depth about that because I had something very, very strange happen to me out in the desert in 1990 that is definitely a Mandela Effect, where I took a portion of the trip twice in a time of taking it once. So in essence, I took the trip once. When I got my film back, it showed I had in fact taken it twice, and I remembered it two different ways. So I will be back next week to discuss this amazing phenomenon that is occurring all over the world called the Mandela Effect. Until then, my friends, you may contact me by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, out for now. Oh, one last thing here. Don't bring it up yet, George. One last thing. I do want to let all of you know that my brother did get clean and sober in the early 90s, around 91 or 92. So kudos to him for being able to defeat that demon. Take care, folks. I'll be back next week.